and welcome to this nice podcast on the Ovarian Cancer Clinical Guideline. This podcast will focus specifically on exploring the role of lymph node assessment and systematic retroperitoneal lymphadenectomy from a consultant's perspective. I am Katie Perryman-Ford, the NICE implementation advisor for this guideline, and with me is Mr. Charles Redman, a gynaecological cancer surgeon at University Hospital of North Staffordshire and a council member of the British Gynaecological Cancer Society. Charles is the clinical lead on the guideline development group for the NICE Ovarian Cancer Clinical Guideline. Throughout this podcast, we will refer to lymph node assessment as LNA and systematic retroperitoneal lymphadenectomy as SRL for ease. There are two recommendations concerning LNA and SRLs. Firstly, perform retroperitoneal lymph node assessment as part of optimal surgical staging in women with suspected ovarian cancer whose disease appears to be confined to the ovaries. And secondly, do not include systematic retroperitoneal lymphadenectomy as part of standard surgical treatment in women with suspected ovarian cancer whose disease appears to be confined to the ovaries. So, Charles, could you explain why this guideline has been developed?
This particular guideline has been developed because at the stakeholder meetings that were held at the beginning of this process, it was identified that there is considerable variation in practice on how women with suspected early ovarian cancer are managed. This perception is based partly in anecdotal evidence and also to some degree on audits that have been performed in different parts of the country. I think it's important to mention that the NICE guidelines here are not a comprehensive textbook on how ovarian cancer should be managed, but rather to focus on those areas where there is variation or controversy in how such patients to be managed. And that is why this particular topic was chosen.
What is the difference and the relationship between LNA and SRL?
Well, in general terms, I suppose that could be summarised by intention and extent. Perhaps the easiest thing to do is to explain what an SRL is supposed to be. This is supposed to be a systematic removal of all the retroperitoneal lymphatic tissue from the pelvis up through the abdomen, up to the level of the renal arteries. This is a major surgical procedure, and like everything in surgery, the more you do, the greater the morbidity that's associated with it. On the other hand, lymph node assessment, or LNA, this is where one performs, instead of a systematic removal of all tissue, is to perform an assessment, which would involve inspection and palpation, and if that is entirely normal, to perform, in a sense, random biopsies. In other words, you have not removed the whole area, but you do have histological evidence.
So LNA is recommended as part of optimal surgical staging. What are the other components?
Well, surgical staging involves laparotomy, which means that one will perform a thorough exploration of the whole of the abdominal cavity using both inspection and palpation. And in addition to that, there are certain other surgical procedures. In general terms, these would include a hysterectomy, removal of both the ovaries and the tubes, an omentectomy, and in addition to that, peritoneal washings, as well as a lymph node assessment.
So why is SRL a do not do recommendation?
It's a do not do recommendation because we looked at the evidence, and the question that was being asked is that given that SRL is a much more extensive procedure, which carries necessarily a greater morbidity, is there evidence that demonstrates that this has a therapeutic and staging value? And our extensive review of the evidence did not suggest that this was the case. In other words, just because you can do it doesn't necessarily mean that you should. The issue here is, if in doubt, should you do or don't? The view is that the additional morbidity, the extra costs involved, both to the patient and to the system, are not justified on the basis of the evidence that we've reviewed.
Can you give us some background about the ACTION trial and why it was not considered as part of the evidence for SRL when developing this guideline?
The ACTION study was an important prospective randomised study performed by the EORTC. In other words, it was a European-wide study. And this was a prospective randomised study that was specifically designed to answer the question, does adjuvant chemotherapy help those women who apparently have early stage ovarian cancer? And the authors concluded, as a whole, it appeared that adjuvant chemotherapy conferred additional survival benefit in patients with early stage ovarian cancer. But a subgroup analysis identified this was only accrued in those patients who had had suboptimal staging. In other words, it appeared that those women who had occult disease that had not been recognised because they'd had inadequate staging benefited from this treatment. And this, of course, is an important finding. However, what has to be mentioned here is that this was a subgroup analysis which was not, in actual fact, addressing the question which the study was designed to do. And because of this, the guideline development group felt that these results would be difficult to interpret with certainty. And it was because of that reservation that although we mention the ACTION study, that we have not based our conclusions on those particular findings.
Are there any occasions when SRL should be used?
Well, first of all, in the context of early ovarian cancer, the answer is that outside clinical research, no, SRL shouldn't be done. But I think what we have to remember here is that our guidelines are evidence-based. And what we were saying is there isn't the evidence to support the use of SRL. That is not to say that SRL doesn't have a value, it's just there's no evidence to say that it does. In other words, I believe that guidelines are there to say what should happen in general terms. But certainly in a research context, I think that this is an area where people should look at to see does SRL confer a survival benefit. And it may do. It's just we don't have the evidence at the moment to say that. So therefore, the answer to your question for women who suspected early ovarian cancer is that SRL should be performed, but only in a research setting. So what I've said so far has really just been in the context of women with suspected early ovarian cancer. But questions have been asked about whether SRL has a role in advanced disease. The answer is it may do, it may not. But this was not something that was specifically looked at by the guideline development group because it was outside the scope.
What will the recommendation on SRL mean for clinical practice? How will practice need to change?
Well, quite simply, in routine clinical practice, in other words, in women who are suspected of having early ovarian cancer where the disease is confined to the ovaries, there is no justification for performing SRL.
Is this the kind of issue which may be looked at as part of peer review?
Yes, I mean, this is an important area of practice. Peer review is usually about establishing common ways of working. And the guidelines are very clear on this, that in women who have suspected early ovarian cancer, lymph node assessment should be performed.
Thank you very much, Charles. We hope that you have enjoyed this podcast and found the information useful and that it will help you when putting the guideline into practice. For more information about the Ovarian Cancer Clinical Guideline and for access to the implementation tools, please visit the NICE website, www.nice.org.uk.